You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. Everybody, happy Wednesday. Well, what do you know? Before we can get into our finishing up our discussion on property tax, get some updates. Boy, in 6 days, so much happens in the world today. Used to be, you know, several months would have to go by before you had anything major to report on. No, now it's moment by moment, actually. Boy, they're really upping the ante. Things are getting so frickin' crazy. But in the midst of all the insanity, every so often you get a good piece of news. And here's something that really touched my heart. Mr. David Hogg is going to be getting the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award. Join me with raging applause, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that just peachy keen? Oh, vomit-inducing. You gotta be freaking kidding me. A guy who, even if the shooting was real, wasn't even at the school, wasn't a student at the school, is nothing but a little whore, him and his dada, for elite pig run, grab your gun system. Oh, man, is this ever disgusting or what? Fortunately, there's quite a few people out there that are just absolutely sick to their stomach with this guy and his shenanigans, and aren't afraid to speak out, don't care about being labeled as unsympathetic toward the victims of the shoot. They know this guy is a monkey and they're calling him out. I love it. Even in some mainstream talk shows, of course, you know, a lot of them are phony controlled opposition. But nevertheless, doesn't matter. This guy is so over-the-top fake, guys, that, you know, very, very few people are bothering to come to his defense anymore. The system itself, of course, is still going to continue to prop them up, even though they know that most people can see right through them. Unbelievable. You know, just like, you know, even official polls show that 90% of Americans don't believe the official story of the Kennedy assassination. But that doesn't stop them from still continuing to, you know, print in the textbooks that it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Christ. But anyway. Another important update. Last week, we had, or at least we are told we had, three suicides of major public figures. Three suicides last week. All by hanging, too, I might add. Seems to be the popular way of people wanting to kill themselves, nod, nod, wink, wink, or making it out to look like they killed themselves. Anyway, the CIA needs some new script writers, or not just the CIA, the intelligence agencies in general. They've got to come up with some new tactics here. You know, it's getting a little stale, like the crust on your frickin' underwear. But anyway, as many of you probably know, the famous CNN talk show host, the traveling chef there, Anthony Bourdain, was found dead this past Friday in his hotel room in Strasbourg, France, hanging by his neck in the hotel bathroom, I guess it was. And of course, it was ruled a suicide by French police within an hour. Isn't that interesting? No investigation, and yet they determined it was a suicide. That's really bizarre right there. I uncovered some very interesting developments about him today. In fact, I didn't uncover it. Kyle had sent me some emails, which completely changed my course, my direction that I was going to be going in. I intended to defend this guy as a martyr of truth. And even though he did do a couple of things, at least on the surface anyway, probably just for window dressing purposes, maybe to look like a truther, like an Alex Jones type, you know, he said something in defense of the Palestinians. He talked about he was trying to get Turkey to recognize the Armenian Holocaust, you know, blah, 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 blah. It all sounds good, right? However, upon much closer inspection, we discover that things just weren't right with Mr. CNN. And, you know, should it surprise us, guys? CNN, really? The guy was good friends, amongst other things, with Mr. Anderson Cooper. He's featured on numerous videos uploaded on YouTube, having, you know, private dinners with him. Oh, please. Hey, maybe they were doing a little knob polishing on the side, even though Bourdain had a girlfriend, if that's what you want to call that thing. That doesn't mean anything, you know. They probably both flipped both ways. I'll have more to say on that in a moment, including his psychopathic girlfriend. Wow, what a twisted little bitch. This woman is, you know, like a carbon copy of Abramovic. Remember her with her spirit cooking? This is one sick, twisted bitch. But like I said, we'll get into that in a little bit here. But looks like we've got a call on the line. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I just called in to listen.
Oh, okay, man. Yep, no problem.
Do you mind if I have any questions or comments later on, if I just unmute myself?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. So anyway, many have remarked how awfully strange that, French authorities declared Bourdain's death a suicide so quickly. How could they have determined that, you know, in such a short time? How could they conduct an investigation in such a short time? And again, the obvious answer is they couldn't have. So my first impression was this is a cover-up. They're a cover. And usually that's the case, right? When you have stuff like this going on, the police have no intention of investigating. They're just trying to close the case and move on. Don't look any further here. Nothing to be suspicious about, you know, that it's a cover-up. But now I have to wonder if he even died. Did he fake his death? Is this whole thing staged? Because there's good reason to believe that he actually isn't dead. For example, Yahoo News reported on Monday that his twisted little bitch girlfriend, Asia Argento, made this comment to her dead boyfriend just after he died. She said, "I hope you are having a good trip wherever you are." Now, some could say, well, yeah, she's referring to his afterlife journey. Really? Well, you might say that, except for the fact that on Sunday, just 2 days, supposedly, after her father died, his 11-year-old daughter did a dance and a singing routine at New York's Drom Music venue. How in the world, ladies and gentlemen, could an 11-year-old girl, how would her mother even let her? Why would the girl even want to? How would, in fact, she be able to dance before a large crowd and sing, too, when her father supposedly just committed suicide 2 days before? No. I'm sorry. Something reeks real bad here. I don't think the guy's dead. I really don't. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, on the one hand, you know, some might think, well, you know, he was, not only was, you know, he a big-time figurehead at CNN, which is nothing but a front for the CIA, but he actually has tribal blood in his veins. He is part Jewish. So, you know, that's, you know how that goes. You know, just so I don't come across as a bigot, it doesn't mean that you are corrupt if you have Jewish blood in your veins. But it just so happens by rare coincidence that 99.99999999999% of the time, that is the case. Especially if you're, you know, an elite Jew. High profile, public figure Jew. You're, you know, chances are 10 billion to one that you're not going to be a corrupt piece of shit, right? But anyways, it can happen. It has happened on occasion that the tribe will, you know, cut the throats of some of their own fellow tribesmen for various reasons. If you look at them the wrong way, you don't bend over and louvre up for them when they're in the mood. You know, you oppose them in one area, even though you're going along with 99.9% of everything else, there's one particular area that, you know, you're not in favor of, and you might say something and, you know, put your foot in your mouth, and the next thing you know, you're dead. They do that. So I'm not saying 100% that he isn't dead. He might be. In which case, you know what? Maybe his daughter was MK Ultra early on and she's lost her sensitivities. Maybe she couldn't stand her father. I don't know. And that's how she was able to dance and sing on Sunday. But regardless, guys, regardless, Mr. Bourdain stinks to high hell, as we're going to see in a moment here. So dead or not, I don't trust the bastard. And the seemingly good things he did for, you know, for the Palestinians and for trying to push the Armenian Holocaust theme, that doesn't redeem him. As far as I'm concerned, having discovered today, thanks to Kyle, you know, some of these problems with him. So glad Kyle alerted me to this, because again, I wasn't aware of it. I was going to present this guy as a, you know, a total victim here, a martyr, if you will. But no, something else is going on. But before I get into that, some of these other incredibly bizarre isn't even the word, dark factoids about this guy. Let me just mention, many alternative media people, you know, on YouTube and whatnot, for the past several days have been posting videos analyzing this whole situation. They talked about how, you know, in recent times, Bourdain has been posting tweets about Hillary and Pedogate and, you know, talking how she's been defending Epstein and on it goes. He's also been speaking against the sexual predators in Hollywood. It all sounds great, right? He also allegedly said that Hillary was, or that her thugs were kind of stalking him and, you know, how oppressed and fearful he was of, you know, some of the things that they were doing and saying. On June 5th, for example, just, last week, a week ago yesterday, in fact, he supposedly made this tweet. He said, "I have information that will lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton." Well, guys, it turns out that that whole thing is a spoof. He actually never posted that himself. Somebody else did, using his name. It's just, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on here. He's also alleged to have recently stated, quote, "I am concerned about Hillary's goons. They won't leave me alone." So the impression is that he's a, you know, he's a real humanitarian. He's a truther, basically. And that's the impression you would get if you watch some of the, you know, YouTubers And I'm not saying that YouTubers that portray him as that are liars. You know, I thought the guy was sincere too until today. But as always, guys, you gotta look deeper than what's on the surface. You gotta look deeper. Even if you see that this or that individual said some things and did some things that sound kosher, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Look a little deeper. This guy's got a lot of lumps under his rug, let me tell you. Anyway, let me see here. On one episode, now we'll get into the thicket of this now, at exposing some of the inconsistencies with this guy. This is pretty shocking stuff. On one of his episodes of his show on CNN, Parts Unknown, he interviewed a German chef, had him on as a guest. His name is Renny Stessi, who absolutely has got to be a German Jew, ladies and gentlemen. He's called it, you know, a Jewish chef. Oh, but when you see some of the crap this bastard said, he's Jewish all the way. Anyway, in the course of their conversation, they started talking about, you know, some recent sexual assaults that had been occurring in Cologne. And Bourdain then asked Stessi if Middle Easterners and blacks could ever become part of Germany, you know, an accepted part of German society. Stessi then said that it is possible, but only if right-wing people will not develop, i.e. procreate. Now, who are these right-wing people that he's talking about? Well, look what he said next. I think I want to talk about utopias, he said. It's a kind of utopia, just the fact that the whole world will mix up with each other. That's his idea of utopia, the intermixing of races. In, I don't know, 70, 80 years, there will be no white people anymore, he said, and only cappuccino-colored people. It's good. It's good. Can you freaking believe this? And now let's look at what Bourdain said in response to this. That's the only way. It's the only solution. It's our only hope to fuck our way out of this. He actually said it's our only hope. Who's the our here? Well, we know what his background is, right? And that tells us what Stessi's background is, too. Who would talk like this? This is the only way to get rid of white people and intermix them so much that they disappear. It's our only hope. Who's the our? It's obvious who the our is, isn't it? We, the Jews, it's our only hope. We've got to get rid of the white race. Guys, there it is, right there. When I saw this, that it's over. That's it. There's no defending this bastard. He's no martyr. Like I said, I don't even think he's dead. And if he is, he probably just pissed off some elite Jew fellow pigs like himself. So it's just one group of criminals killing another fellow criminal bastard. You know what? I have no sympathy for him. Having made a statement like this, if you are dead, goodbye and good riddance. And if you're not, you better hope I don't run into you, because you would be dead, you little prick. Look at this, guys. Look at this. He went on to say, it's going to take some time. But it's really the only way, the sort of Singaporean model where everybody is so mixed up that you really don't know who to hate because everybody is so hopelessly intertwined. But we're a long way from that. Wow, man, you have got to be shitting me. Holy horseshit. Need any more be said on the matter? Oh, but guess what? There is more, actually. I thought that this was the ultimate, you know, when I read this email from Kyle earlier today. But then, as I'm putting these notes together, he sends me another email. He says, hey, guess what? I started digging more, and look what else I found out. So he sent me another page. with some further interesting research, it just gets uglier and uglier. Bourdain, in spite of his alleged opposition to Pedogate, had his own disturbing side, or maybe I should say has his own, if he's still alive, his own disturbing side. Listen to these interesting revelations. He posted a picture of his best friend, French chef Eric Ripert, who's supposedly the guy that found his body, you know, in the bathroom of the hotel room. He posted a picture of him a while back wearing a chef's jacket, a white jacket, with what looks like blood splattering all over it. And he has an evil grin on his face. Now, you know, you might say, well, you know, maybe it was just cutting up the steaks in the kitchen. They were so fresh, they were still bloody, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, no, because number one, he has blood on his face, too. Pretty sick. And he's got this evil, evil grin on his face. But you know what? It gets worse, because when you look at some of the other things that he's tweeted over the, you know, the past, especially the past several months, in the context of all these other things that we're going to be looking at, that picture of his buddy with the blood, guys, it is blood. There's no question about it. And his evil grin is intentional. These people are evil. They're absolutely as despicable as anybody involved in Pedogate, which forces us to have to re-question what was really going on when he criticized Hillary and Pedogate. Is it just, you know, like professional wrestlers insulting each other's mothers, giving each other noogies, and then later on sucking brewskis down, you know, at the corner bar? I think it's fake opposition, guys. I think he's right in there with them. And when I finish presenting this information, I think you'll agree. Here's another one. He posted a picture on February 16th of 2014 of a table setting that displayed two bowls a mixture of clotted blood. It looks like, you know, a dinner setting. Two bowls of what was, you know, looks like, some would argue, oh, it's just tomato sauce. No, because underneath it had the heading that read fresh blood soup. In fact, raw fresh blood soup. Raw fresh blood soup. So, you know, this isn't a matter of reading into something that isn't there. It's not that, oh, come on, it was just tomato sauce. No, 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 no. Underneath it, it is a table setting. He had spoons and whatnot, you know, and like I think a salad or something next to it. But two bowls of this really thick, clotty-looking, bloody substance, and underneath it, raw, fresh blood soup. So there you go. Oh, and he's a world-class chef. Oh, yeah. Mr. Bourdain, could you cook me up a bowl of raw, fresh blood soup? Oh, yummy, yum, yum. Guys, how many times have we heard stories of how the elites drink blood? I have a show coming up, a very, very disturbing show coming up on the elites drinking, not just human blood, blood of children specifically, because of a belief they have that it actually lengthens your life and gives you a more youthful complexion and whatnot. Anyway, I'll save that for later. That's another show. But it looks like this is what these bastards are all into, including Mr. Bourdain. On Christmas Day in 2015, he posted another picture of a medieval skull drilling torture device, which he labeled as, quote, a great gift. He considered this a great gift, this skull drilling device. In fact, it looks like a trepanation device. And guess what? I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's another picture that he posted of a gift that he got. It's a medieval painting of a trepanation surgical procedure. So there you go. He's into this bizarre, you know, torture, just sadomasochistic. Wow, man, this is unbelievable. On February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2016, He posted a picture of a bloody hand holding a heart. It looks like a human heart. You know, I'm not a biology expert, but certainly looked like a human heart to me. It could have been a pig heart. I don't know, but does it really matter? A bloody hand holding a freshly excised heart. And this is even more disturbing. Beneath it showed that it got 22,491 likes for this picture. Wow, man, that's some bizarre shit, isn't it? That's incredibly scary shit. So he has a group of followers, 22,000 plus strong, who think that that kind of shit is something to get excited about. They call that art. Maybe they eat human blood too and like human hearts for dessert. On another Valentine's Day, 2017, last year, his beloved had uploaded a picture of a blood-stained knife next to another heart, and next to that was a horseshoe, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, and several drops of blood on the tablecloth or whatever they had it all sitting on. The caption beneath read, "Love hurts, love scars." Wow, man. You know, she probably wants her audience to think, or at least her uneducated audience, those that aren't in the know, to think that, you know, she's just making a graphic illustration of how love can hurt you. No, if you ask me, guys, especially considering the Abramovich-type bitch that she is, she's probably talking about her love of children and how her love of children hurts the children and how she gets off on it. Holy shit. And so here's Bourdain talking about Hillary. Come on now. Give me a break. On March 11th, 2017, almost a month later, Argento posted another picture, this time of herself and a young girl wearing red shoes. Some researchers, folks, believe that red shoes is an allusion to pedophilia. It gets even stranger, though, when you look closely. We'll talk about that when we get back, guys. Stick with us.
UNICEF and USAID. Every 33 hours, a crisis actor dies of hunger. Following the recent Parkland shooting in Florida, at least five Jews and some others were killed by an Hispanic, slightly Jewish, white supremacist. We are in urgent need of bagels, empty shell casings, odd shoes, and above all, fake blood. It is critical. Please donate any of these or cash to Bagels for Bagel at unicef.org. Save the children. Give up your guns.
All right, guys, welcome back. So anyway, this picture has this Abramovic-type little bitch, Asia Argento, Bourdain's girlfriend, standing next to a little girl. She looks like, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever, wearing red shoes, like Dorothy. Let's not forget, Wizard of Oz movie was, still is, a popular film to use for MKUltra mind control programming, right? Anyway, here is what's really disturbing. Beneath this picture, Argento wrote these words, "Anthony Bourdain and I won't get any older now. The angels want to wear my red shoes." Holy shit. Do you catch the meaning there? If you're not familiar with what is called parabiosis, maybe this doesn't, ring a bell, but, I wish I had covered that topic before this. But anyway, I'll be getting to that in coming weeks. But basically, it's the idea, as I said before the break, the elites are really into this, guys, okay? Amongst other things, when they abduct children, they don't just use them for sex. That's bad enough. A lot of times, after they're done using them, when they've, used up their usefulness, they'll use them in a hunting expedition. They'll turn them loose in a remote forest somewhere and hunt them down like wild animals. Or, in addition to that, a lot of times, if they don't kill them while still alive in one of their ceremonies, they'll take their bodies after they've hunted them down and drain their blood. Although I do believe, you have to drink the blood, fresh. It can't be coagulated. So it has to be while they're alive that they take their blood. Oh, this is so disgusting. I don't even want to friggin'. Anyway. With that said, okay, they drink the blood primarily. Oh, there's occult reasons too, but literally they believe, and apparently there is something scientific to this, that children's blood actually can make you look more youthful and it can contribute to longevity. Like I said, I'll save that for another show. This is some sick, incredibly sick shit. But with that in mind, let me read this statement again from Argento. This is what was written beneath the picture of her and this girl in red shoes. "Anthony Bourdain and I won't get any older now." What does she mean by that? We're not going to get any older now because we drank the blood of this little girl. I mean, come on. That's what the fuck this means. And then she went on to say, "The angels want to wear my red shoes." What angels is she talking about? Plural. Obviously, they had at their disposal more than just this young girl in the picture. They must have multiple young children. "The angels want to wear my red shoes." My red shoes represent pedophilia, using these kids for sex and for their blood. So me and Mr. Bourdain aren't going to get older anymore because we're drinking these kids' blood. And then you look at all the pictures on her site and on her boyfriend's site, loaded with blood and blood themes and severed hearts, excised hearts, on and on and on. You got to be brain dead to not see what the message here, guys. Holy shitballs. On June 3rd of last year, Argento posted yet another picture of herself with her face drenched in blood, especially around her mouth, which had blood dripping profusely out of it. The obvious implication here is cannibalism, that she just got finished downing human flesh, and now all this blood is gushing out of her mouth. Holy Jesus Christ, man. Again, guys, some people have said, YouTubers who are, defending or at least painting Bourdain as a martyr or whatever, they did say that, his girlfriend is really messed up. Well, that's the whole problem, isn't it? How could this guy have been going with this woman for, you know, at least 11 years. They have an 11-year-old daughter together. How could he have been going with her all this time, seeing what a sick, twisted bitch she is? Obviously, he must be into the same thing, right? Well, of course he is. I just mentioned some pictures that he himself had posted, you know, had tweeted with the blood theme and excised hearts and, you know, on and on and on. Anyway, Argento has also posted several pictures of herself making occult hand signs. Well, no surprise there. That goes with the turf, right? One of them in particular shows her doing the little triangle sign over one of her eyes. Oh, yeah. Where have we seen that before? Holy crap, guys. On July 15th of last year, Bourdain himself posted a picture of himself with a friend who were together holding a jar. And you'll never guess what the jar had inside of it. A fetus, a human fetus preserved in formaldehyde. Holy shit. As a matter of fact, I can't even tell if it's a fetus or a newborn. I don't know. It's a very well-developed fetus if it's a fetus. It had to be a good almost 9 months ready to be born. The caption under it, not the one that he wrote, but the one who set up this webpage, said that it was a baby. It might, in fact, have been a born baby, a newborn baby that they killed or whatever. I don't know, but it doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter. Fetus, baby, what the hell's the difference? They murdered this infant, right? And have it preserved as a trophy what the hell kind of, holy shit. And then they post that pridefully on a tweet. On July 15th. Oh, yeah. Hey, man.
You mind if I interject?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So is this woman, is she doing this? What is her excuse? Is she doing this for some sort of expressionist art or something like that?
Oh, she's a self-admitted witch.
A witch?
Yeah, a practicing witch. You know, like Abramovic. Oh. But, you know, she would probably tell you if you asked her, "Oh, Jojo, I'm a good witch." Yes, good witches like to drink blood and have blood out of their mouth. And then you see the dishes that Bourdain himself has cooked, you know. I mean, that one picture, what was it? Raw fresh blood soup. Oh, yum, yum.
So this would be part of her rituals, I guess, then?
Yeah, well, apparently not just hers. He was involved, too. Don't forget, she said in that one tweet that Mr. Bourdain and I will not get old now.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's unquestionably an allusion to drinking children's blood, which prevents aging, or at least staves off the aging process. You know.
Have you ever heard of Peter Thiel?
Peter who?
Peter Thiel, he's a co-founder of PayPal. He's a huge billionaire. He funded Hogan's lawsuit against Gawker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually acknowledged that he gets infusions of young people's blood, and that helps.
Yeah, sort of I think I make mention of him in my notes on that topic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not the only one either.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of these billionaires are doing that. And
there's some Hollywooders that carry around vials of blood with them, you know, and they drink it on a regular basis. I mean, wow.
Yeah, that's sick. I could see some legitimacy to it because, you know, blood doping athletes use blood doping to increase their red blood cell count, and that gives them more oxygen and more endurance. But I don't know how far these people want to take it.
Right.
And you mentioned earlier that they actually release these children that they molest and then use them as sport for hunting. Is that?
Oh, yeah. Hunter S. Thompson was big on that. I don't know if you ever saw that clip. He was on David Letterman one time, and he's talking really weird. And, you know, he's like, So what do you do in your spare time? Oh, I like to kill things. And Letterman's like what, neighbors? And then he laughs and says, oh, we don't want to talk about killing people now, do we? He says, I'm just talking about animals right now. I mean, it was just so freaking bizarre. But it turns out that according to Paul Bonacci, who was one of the victims of the Franklin cover-up scandal, you know, pedophilia ring. Well, victims, I mean, he didn't get killed, but he was victimized by it. You know what I mean? He named Hunter S. Thompson as one of the people involved, and he was making snuff films.
Wow. That sounds like some Purge shit. You know that movie series, The Purge?
Yeah.
Sounds like a scene out of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, truth is stranger than fiction, man. It's unbelievable. These people are just absolutely sick bastards. I've always said, as bad as it is, you know, that we in the know are aware of things going on, as bad as that is, we probably don't even know 1% of it. It's infinitely worse than what we could even imagine.
Yeah, the deeper you dig, the uglier it gets.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, it's in recent weeks, I've been finding out stuff about the dark web and, oh my God, this stuff is going on right under our noses. I mean, you know, stuff that you, if you had the right connections, you could access live game shows where people are being murdered for entertainment, and you can actually vote on how you want that person to be killed who loses the game. And then you can watch them be killed in front of you. I mean, there's sick, twisted puppies around the world that go into rooms like this and watch and, you know, pay for this to see this. And you're going to tell me that the boys in blue, you know, the FBI, the CIA, they don't know about this? Of course, they're probably some of the prime customers of websites like this.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy world.
Yeah, it is. Anyway.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll let you get back to the show.
Yeah, okay, man. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
So anyway, guys, here's another one. On July 21st of last year, Bourdain posted a picture of, here it is. Yeah, a painting of a medieval trepanning procedure. Trepanning is, you know, it wasn't just in the Middle Ages. This goes back to very ancient times. In fact, cultures from all over the world, including the Americas, in Peru, you know, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, you name it, practiced a surgical procedure. Nobody really knows what the purpose was. You know, modern scientists claim that they know. In the Middle Ages, it was pseudoscience, of course, because in the Middle Ages, with the church controlling everything, you know, real science was suppressed. And so when they practiced trepanation, they probably thought that they were following an ancient tradition. But no. Just like they believe that, you know, the way to determine if you're a witch or not is to throw you in the water. And if you float, you're a witch. If you sink, you're not. Well, the good news is your wife wasn't a witch. The bad news is, in the process of trying to figure that out, she actually drowned. But at least we know she wasn't a witch now. So, but what they would do in the Middle Ages, Dark Ages, is they would cut a hole in your skull if you had, like, migraine headaches or something. And they would drain a bunch of blood. And they claimed that that's how you got rid of migraines. You get too much pressure in your head, too much blood. So drain a bunch of blood. And, hey, the good news is, Cousin Joe doesn't have those headaches anymore. The bad news is he died from the trepanation process. But, hey, at least we cured him. So he posted a picture that somebody gave him of a medieval painting of a trepanation ceremony. And, you know, it just shows the kind of mentality this guy had. This is the kind of art that he collected. This is the stuff he got off on. Well, now his previous gift that he said was a great gift makes sense, right? He got, somebody gave him an actual medieval brain or skull drill, probably, you know, a device that was used for trepanning, right? He called it a great gift. Was he planning on using that in one of his little twisted ceremonies? Maybe he did use it. I don't know. I don't know, guys, but something just isn't right here. Anyway, we're almost done with our updates. Just wanted to mention this. Well, I already mentioned how last week there were three suicides by hanging, right? It was Verdun, of course, but also Kate Spade, sister-in-law of comedian David Spade, she said to have hung herself with a scarlet scarf. That's interesting. A lot of occult symbolism there, scarlet. But check this out, guys. You know where she allegedly hung herself? From a frickin' doorknob. Now think about that for a minute. Listen to the kind of horseshit they sell us. How in the hell do you hang yourself from a doorknob? A doorknob. I mean, even a midget couldn't pull that one off. She could sit, you know, with her hang with her feet up behind her head and wrap herself in a human ball, and she still couldn't frickin' hang herself from a doorknob. Can't do it. It's not possible. But this is the horse shit that they sell us. This is the kind of crap they want us to believe. Anyway, but, you know, if it's true, I don't know. Did she really die, or is this another fake death? I don't know. But even if she did, guys, I don't have any sympathy for her either, because it turns out that she worked with the Clintons in Haiti to help set up, quote, Native Artist Cooperatives in Haiti. So what the hell was that? She was a buddy right in there with the worst of them. So I don't even buy it. I don't even think she's dead. But also last week, the sister of Dutch Queen Maxima is also said to have hung herself. All three of these last week. So what the hell is going on here? Are these deaths for real, or is it just more tribal theater? I mean, who knows? Who knows? But in any case, if nothing else, it's having the desired effect of, you know, putting people in fear and really bizarre shit going on. What a world. Anyway, let's get back to our notes on the property tax. Let's finish that up. Yeah, 'cause I think this is like the third show now, but this is very, very important stuff. I don't want to skip any of this. Let's look at the CAFR issue. I mentioned that last week. We need to go into that in some more detail here. CAFR, of course, standing for Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And the real trap here, the real worm on the hook with that an acronym is the A word. The C word. Comprehensive. Comprehensive. Why do they call it comprehensive? Why don't they just say annual financial report? Doesn't that cover the bases right there? If they want to show you claiming, you know, supposedly an open book, right? They want you to see that we're not hiding anything. See, here's our financial report for all of last year. Next year, we'll show you the report for this year. Everything's all, you know, laid out for you. We're not hiding anything. They call it comprehensive for a reason. They want you to think that it's all-encompassing, that all the money that they collect raping your wallet every you know, month or year, whatever, that all of the money is herein accounted for in this comprehensive financial report. It's not comprehensive, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all. But by putting that word in there, they want you to think it is, so you won't know that they are fucking you up and down, left and right, back and front, and all around. They are only reporting on a small percentage of the amount of money that they fuck you out of. The rest of it goes into big slush funds, baby, big investment funds, which they divide up amongst themselves, of course, while claiming to have no money, because they show you in their financial reports, comprehensive reports, that, well, we just don't have enough money to repave your road this year. Maybe next year we'll cut back on another program. They got plenty of money. Guys, all you got to do is just look back. Just look back. I remember 30, 40 years ago, growing up in my town, all up and down Main Street, they had trash barrels every 10 feet or so on both sides of the street, where, you know, walking down the street at any given moment, you're chewing on some gum. You didn't have to worry about what you're going to do with the wrapper, because if you just passed one trash barrel, you didn't have to turn around because there's another one coming up in another 6 or 7 feet, right? Remember that shit? And they had people that were paid to, you know, walk up and down the street constantly emptying those trash barrels. Your tax dollars, which were a far, far less of a burden than what they are now, right? Property tax was an infinitesimally small fraction of what it is now. Not that that made it any more legitimate. It was still a fraud. But at least you got shit for it back then, right? You got something out of it. Yeah, trash barrels up and down the street. I remember in the, every winter, you could safely walk on sidewalks. And when I say safely, not only safe from traffic, but safe from slipping on ice, because the town always sent, in addition to the plows on the streets, the town always sent small plows to plow all, and I mean all the sidewalks, all the side streets, everywhere in town. They were on top of it. Every time it snowed, they were out there with those plows so that you could walk down, and they sanded them too. They sanded all the sidewalks, all the streets. Those fucking days are gone. So you don't get trash barrels up and down Main Street anymore. You don't get your sidewalks plowed anymore. They cut back on school busing. So now, you know, you got to live more than 2 miles away as the crow flies from the school, or else your kids got to walk. And they got to walk in the middle of the fucking street because they don't plow the sidewalks anymore, right? Holy shit. And if that isn't enough, they've come through. And they've taken out all the street lights, which raises crime rates because now a lot of streets are dark, which formerly used to be nice and bright and lit up, right? It makes it much more easy for fucking criminals to... Jesus fucking Christ. You know what they told us when they took our street lights out? Oh, well, you can have them turned back on, but you're going to have to pay for the electric bill. And all the while they're doing that, they raised our fucking taxes through the roof. You see the game they're playing. They're cutting back on what your fucking stolen property taxes cover, and yet they raise your taxes even more. Holy shit. And people accept this. They think, well, they just don't have the money. Huh? That's why they're not doing this, that, and this, or paving the streets anymore, or, you know, or fixing this or that. Or... Oh, no, they got the money. They got more fucking money than what they ever had. More money than they would even know what to fucking do with. But you think it's all accounted for because you believe they're comprehensive annual financial reports. There's nothing comprehensive about it, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. They're bullshitting you. Again, a CAFR is a set of U.S. government financial statements comprising the financial report of a state, municipal, or other governmental entity that complies, or so we're told, with the accounting requirements promulgated by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. Again, this all is designed to make it look good, sound good, you know, whatever. It's bullshit, guys. It's bullshit. It's set up so that you think everything's being done above board, all legitimate, blah, 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 blah. So that, in the meantime, they can hide probably upwards of 95% of all the money they collect. This so-called accounting board provides standards for the content of a CAFR in its annually updated publication, Codification of Governmental Accounting and Financial Reporting Standards. The U.S. federal government adheres to standards determined by the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board, or FASAB, FASAB. Kind of sounds like facade, doesn't it? Yeah, I think they planned it that way. A CAFR is compiled by a state, municipal, or again, other governmental accounting staff, and audited by an external American institute. It's all rigged. It's all rigged. So it looks, again, like it's all being done above board. External American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, or AICPA, Anyway, it's composed of three sections: introductory, financial, and statistical. That is the official explanation, anyway, in a nutshell. But there's so much more to the story, as always. First, it needs to be understood that all of the CAFR covers, you know, all that the reports cover, is annual operating expenses. The impression is that these comprehensive reports reveal, again, you know, everything that the government collects and where it is all going. It's simply not true. The truth is, they are only designed to distract the public away from the ugly reality that the government collects, or should I say, steals enormous amounts of money every year from taxpayers that goes way, way beyond what the CAFR reveals. This is one of the biggest goddamn outrageous criminal scandalous enterprises, guys, ever pawned off on mankind. Having you believe all of these auditing agencies, you know, they're all designed to give the appearance as though these are safeguards to prevent corruption. We got this guy watching that guy and that guy watching. I mean, that's what they tell you with the government itself, right? Checks and balances, checks and balances. How can you possibly think a system of checks and balances could ever work when everybody who sits enthroned at the highest levels of these checks and balances fiascos are fucking sellout pieces of shit? It's like our court system, right? Oh, everything's above board. Why? We call him Your Honor because he's an honorable man. They're all fucking criminal pricks, ladies and gentlemen. How many times I've heard people say, oh, how could you believe in conspiracies? You know how many people that would take? Actually, it doesn't take that many at all. Just the top-notch pieces of shit. Everybody else falls in line. Whether they know or not, it doesn't matter. They don't need to know. But, you know, again, checks and balances. People think, oh, our system is incorruptible. All right, guys, short break right back.
Our hosts here at Renegade Broadcasting do a great job presenting to you cutting-edge and hard-hitting content every day of the week. They do this all for free, because they care about getting the truth out there and ensuring that we, and future generations, have a future worth living for. Our enemies have an endless supply of money to finance their operations, but we're able to work wonders working on a shoestring budget. If you appreciate a host's content, visit their archive page and find out how to support them, or even send a nice thank you note. We all appreciate it. Thank you for your consideration. Now back to the show. We'll be right back.
Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Kaffir provides a cloak, as you might imagine, to hide vast amounts of money that's being funneled to projects that are not in the public's interest, in fact, that are very often quite contrary to public interest. The way this works is like this. Every time the government spends money on a particular project, what they don't report is that the money used actually came from previous invested taxpayer funds that earned them at least twice what was originally invested. The original sum that was invested is held aside and does not get reported on in the CAFR. And so the next year, they do the same thing. They take that previous amount of money that was invested, they take money out of that, and they tell you that's what we had and this is what we used. In the meantime, all the previous year's earnings keeps accumulating. Do you see what I'm saying? The current year's earnings don't get reported at all. They're just telling you about last year's earnings and what they did with the interest of it, not having touched the principal. So as you might guess, in 5 or 10 years, they've got an enormous accumulation of cash reserves. And that's after they've dipped themselves deep, since it's not reported on, since you don't know it even exists. They do probably fucking dip in at will, don't they? Of course they do. And yet they maintain the illusion that they're hurting. How can they be hurting, guys, when you consider the fucking shenanigans that are going on? But, you know, you think that the reports are comprehensive, so that covers everything. And so, you know, they keep raising your taxes. Well, look at the scam they're running, guys. All they got to do is show you the numbers on what you think are comprehensive. And, oh, yeah, well, I guess I need more money. It sucks that I got to pay more. I can't afford it. But, well, goddamn it, we got to keep the government going. What are you going to do if we don't have government? Keep raising your taxes and then cutting back on what your taxes are supposed to pay for, right? Having you think that they're just barely scraping by, when you're the ones that are barely scraping by paying these fucked up taxes. But they have huge surpluses. And if this is going on the local level in your local town, what the fuck do you think is going on the state and federal level? Do you recall Mr. Rumsfeld, for example, saying that $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon back just before 9/11. In fact, was it the day before they reported that? And by the way, several trillion more have been reported missing from different other various federal budgets since then, guys. There was just another one, I don't know, a couple months ago. I forget now what government branch it was reporting that. I think it was the Pentagon again. I don't remember now, but every time you turn around, they're claiming this, oh, we lost this amount, or we can't account for this. Wow. When you think of people busting their ass, struggling, working and working and slaving away, and yet such a huge chunk of their check gets taken out before they even fucking get it. Money that they could be using to pay for, feeding their kids or, helping their kids get through school or grandma's medical expense, whatever, And these fucking bastards are just sucking you dry for no fucking reason, just to line their pockets and pay off their sellout pieces of shit buddies on Wall Street. Well, they're the sellouts for Wall Street, but you know what I mean. Oh, when you think of the injustice of it, oh, God damn it. And yet there they are lying through their what seems to be legitimate CAFRA reports so that nobody will question it, that it gets all above board. Oh, America, you are so completely fucked, man. You're fucked. But you know what makes you even more fucked than what your politicians are doing to you? What makes you most fucked is your apathy, your willful participation in this system, your blindness, turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to it, playing make-believe, whistling your way through this oppression, pretending everything's fine, everything's legitimate, going by their phony, lying-ass CAFRA reports. That's why you're fucked more than anything else. It's a self-imposed fuck job. Anyway, we got, I think we got another caller. Are you there, caller?
Hello, Charles.
Hey, what's happening?
I just want to make a point or two. Because the way the system is rigged, they've turned the whole nation into a company store, is what they've done.
Into a what?
The company store, you know, in the old classic days where workers would get stuck in some town, stuck at some job, and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The same corporations ran the company store, and so people would be stuck, and you can never get your way out.
Same principle on a much grander scale, yeah.
And so it's just a national company store in a sense. But what I want to point out, because I was champing at the bit last week when you were talking about the taxes on windows back in the 1700s.
Yeah, what a scam.
An unintended consequence is that is, especially if you think of the Northeast, and if you think of Henry David Thoreau, who wrote Walden Pond.
Yeah.
And he ended up dying in his 40s due to tuberculosis. And one of the great reasons of having windows.
I'm not far from Walden Pond, by the way. I've been to his little cottage there.
Yeah, and one of the ways tuberculosis is contracted is because you sit in small houses and you're generally crowded and through the winter, and people spread it by. Being in these small houses with no windows because sunlight kills the tuberculosis germs in the air.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so the unintended consequences, I'm sure the taxes made people say, well, we won't put in as many windows, so we'll get lower taxes.
Maybe that wasn't unintended consequences.
Well, I don't think at the time they might have found the connection. Yet, I think that was later in the 1800s, and one of the ways.
I don't know. There's evidence, not just evidence. Clearly, the Templars had, albeit primitive compared to what we got now, but they had antibiotics in the Middle Ages. But they understood more than what we're led to believe they did. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but when you have windows in your house, that's what. One of the actual medical benefits of having windows is to allow sunlight in, and sunlight kills airborne germs. And so if you drive people into hovels and they're going to be in the dark and they're going to be crowded, you can expect the spreading of diseases. And it is, in a sense, engineered. And ultimately, a lot of the diseases were eradicated in the later 1800s because of, plumbing. But also because of making the houses bigger and providing windows for people.
Well, now that you mention it, this is interesting. in the Middle Ages, people had windows, but the windows were usually covered, you know, with cloth. They didn't have glass, right? The technology, so we're told, was lost. The Romans made it. The Egyptians made it. But in the Middle Ages, they didn't know how to make glass. It was only rediscovered just, I don't know what, a couple centuries ago. How much you want to bet? That was probably bullshit, too.
I wonder about stained glass, though, at that time. And maybe it was just to monopolize on glass or utilize all the glass for the church. I wonder about that, too.
Just, yeah, I don't know, just transparent glass in the average home. They couldn't do it anyway, for whatever.
Yeah, anyway, I just want to bring up those points, and thank you.
Okay, yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah,
you got to love that, guys. Right after the, you know, the American Revolution, the blood from that war hadn't even dried yet, and already they were imposing a national property tax. They realized, oh shit, okay, we can't, we've got to back away from that. We'll hit them locally. We'll just have all towns around the whole country, you know, impose a tax like this. But, I mean, just think of that, you know. Supposedly, the war was fought to set us free from oppressive taxation. No sooner does the goddamn thing end, the very bastards that were running the country at the time, supposedly in favor of freedom for the people, there they were trying to impose a monstrously oppressive, inescapable, nationwide imposed direct fucking tax. Oh, Christ, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, on that basis alone, I should tell you what a fraud this bitch system was. From the word go, it was never intended to be a free country. Please, never. And if you're not already convinced of that from, you know, previous shows I've done and research you've done on your own, stay tuned, because I got some whoppers coming up. I got a two-part series coming up with yet more evidence that this system was a bitch from the word go. Anyway, I'm not sure when I'll get to it, hopefully soon, but so many topics keep coming my way that I can't wait to get to.
Hey, Charles.
Anyway, yeah.
Do you think any of our founding fathers were actually genuine? They had ingenuity?
Oh, yeah. You know, the certainly there was what's called the Anti-Federalist Party. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? They were in a minority, and they're not the ones that had the power. The ones that did, that won out in the end, were the Federalists. Now, the Federalists did have to make concessions, like with the Bill of Rights. They didn't want it. Oh, they fought it, but they realized, ah, shit. In order to give this thing legitimacy, you know, we got to make it look good, window dressing purposes. Damn it, we got to let that ride through. But for the most part, when I say the Founding Fathers sucked, I'm talking, you know, the majority of them. Certainly the most famous, most well-known, you know, Washington and Hamilton and Madison and Franklin and Sam Adams, all of them pieces of shit, every fucking one of them. And yet, you know, we hold them up on this big pedestal, almost with godlike reverence for them, you know. What a crock of shit.
So they wanted to tax the American populace?
Oh, more than that, they were setting up, admittedly, an empire. You know, Washington, if you want, drop me an email later. I can send you the notes on that. Washington, wow, on numerous occasions, referred to America as an empire in infancy. Soon we will encompass the whole globe. You know, he knew what he was doing. He knew who he was working for. He was a high-ranking Mason, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that is concerning. I read somewhere, and I don't know if this was a minority thing or how pervasive this was among the fathers, but I read that they intended to not have any taxes on the American citizens, and that all their taxation for government revenue would come from taxing imports coming into the country.
Right. Yep. And now we don't even have that anymore. To pick up the slack, they charged us, you know, they charged citizens, right? Yeah, it's foreign imports. Yeah.
So was that something that was a wide belief or intention among the founding fathers, or?
Well, you know, I did a show on that one time, the history of tariffs in the United States. It wasn't until the early 20th century that they had talked about it. They tried to, but it kept getting shot down. That didn't start to change until the era of the Federal Reserve coming in. That started all to turn around now. They figured they had lulled the public asleep enough where they could start to pull it off. I mean, there were presidents who got assassinated over trying to prevent, you know, the whole, you know, getting in the way of the tariff issue, you know, getting rid of tariffs. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, the last president who really spoke out against that was, what's his name? Jesus Christ. Not Coolidge. Who came before him? Harding. And then the next thing you know, he dies from, allegedly from food poisoning, right? Yeah, I'm sure. Poisoning my ass. Well,
you know that
McKinley spoke against it too. McKinley, look what they did to him.
Well, you mentioned that they were Masons, and that's reason for suspicion. But you know the website Smoloko?
No.
Well, on that website, the person who runs it, he quoted Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. They were allegedly anti-Jewish and trying to warn other people.
Yeah. Sure. But guess what? One of the greatest statements. I mean. A good statement was made along that line was made by Winston Churchill, right? Remember that famous one in 1921, the Sunday Evening Herald or whatever the hell, where he said, you know, since the days of Spartacus, meaning Adam Weishaupt, there has been this grand conspiracy. He mentioned the Jews as being at the helm of the whole thing, you know, to create world government, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's a great rant, right? It's all true. Everything he said. But it turns out, and I'm going to be doing a show on that, a whole series on that bastard coming up. He was one of their biggest whores ever. So much for his exposure. You know what I'm saying? This is the game they play. In fact, I think that's what's going on with Mr. Badoon there. I think he was doing the same thing. You know, he said a few things in favor of the Palestinians, so a lot of people sided with him, and you know, blah, blah, blah. It turns out he's a raging piece of, or at least was, if he is in fact dead.
Oh, yeah. Churchill was a complete Zionist puppet, but
right,
when you read that article in its entirety, you see that he puts the Jews on a pedestal before he makes that statement, and he says how the Jews are like the beacon of morality, and Judaism and Christianity brought with it so much morality to the world, and we all know that's a crock of crap. So
you know, I have to say the same thing about. I got to say the same thing. You know, I did a show on this guy a while back, Mr. Henry Ford, you know, for a long time, was a big fan of his. He certainly wrote a lot of good stuff at his Dearborn Independent, right? Some great articles, well-researched, you know, blah, 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 blah. But then upon closer inspections, things started, you know, falling apart. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. The guy, he was a Mason his whole life, number one. Number two, I mean, that in and of itself, you could say, well, he might have been an ignorant low level. No, he wasn't. He was actually a 33rd. But anyway, doesn't matter. He, it turns out, even though he's known for, you know, being good to his workers, he paid them more than other people in the industry. That's all true. But he also vehemently resisted successfully a union coming in, you know, to his factories. In fact, he had thugs that would beat up people who even hinted at the idea of a union. He was a prick. But if that isn't all bad enough, all the while he's writing these great articles in the Dearborn, he was actually funding personally Woodrow Wilson to go on a speaking tour around the country pushing the League of Nations. He was a major advocate of the League of Nations. Now, wait just a fucking minute. He's supposedly so wise to the tribe and all their shenanigans, and yet here he was supporting one of their biggest at the time, you know, one of their biggest fiascos of all. I'm sorry. I think the guy was a fucking shill from the word go.
You think you're saying Henry Ford?
Henry Ford, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's horribly.
This in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean anything, but together with all this other stuff, it certainly means something. Now, he had a neighbor across the street that he lived with for decades, a rabbi. He used to give him every year a new Model T for his birthday. So I should tell you something.
Man, that's a real bummer because he's been a hero of mine, you know.
Oh, yeah, me too. for years. Yeah, I didn't find this out till probably, I don't know, like two and a half years ago. It blew me away. But that's how controlled opposition works. Hey, look, in the modern context, look at Mr. Alex Jones, right? I used to listen to that son of a bitch back in 2003, 2004. I thought he was the real deal, and he certainly came across. He was a good actor, you know? He had a lot of people sucked in. He still does. But he's full of shit. The guy's a phony. He's an absolute fraud.
Yeah, but we can't compare Henry Ford to Alex Jones.
No. I mean, no, he never said anything about the tribe, but you know what I'm saying, though, as far as thinking he's a truther, you know what I mean? You can make the comparison there. Look, they've got their shills, you know, at every level, you know, but for those that are partially awake, for those that are mediocrely awake, for those that are almost completely awake, they're always going to have people. That's why, you got to have your guard up. I don't trust 99.9% of the truthers out there.
Well, how do we know that?
What's that?
Well, how do we know that Henry Ford wasn't just maybe 90% of his ideas were spot on accurate, and then, you know, the other 10%?
Oh, I don't question the veracity of the things he reported on. It's all true. He wrote, you know, that's a great articles written, but I think that's just part of his cover, you know.
Well, I've just seen intelligent people who've made major contributions, and they'll say or do really delusional things, and it's completely inconsistent with the intelligent things they're doing. So maybe,
yeah, but
I don't
this
know.
Is a guy who was brushing shoulders. He was right up there with the top notch elites, and you can't tell me that he would be over the top supportive. He didn't just make a few statements. I think the League of Nations is a good idea. No. He was funding Woodrow Wilson. He knew who Woodrow Wilson's handlers were. He's funding Wilson. He's sending him out to shill for the League of Nations as our hope for world peace. Nah, I'm not buying that. And then how good of a man was he when he had thugs that he paid? What did they call that? The triangle? I have to look it up now. There was one particular incident where he was in the papers over it.
You're talking about the Trilateral Commission?
No. Way right. Before that. Triangle something or other. There was an incident where he got a lot of flack, and rightly so, for he had several workers beaten up for trying to bring a union in.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up now. It's been a long time since I covered that. But he was a prick. He was a bastard.
Federal Reserve Act was instituted under Woodrow Wilson, right?
Right, 1913. One of the first things the bastard did, along with the graduating income tax, 16th Amendment bullshit.
Well, I don't know if I can completely discount Henry Ford, but that is pretty damning and discouraging.
Yeah, well, drop me an email, and I'll send you the notes. You can check them out for yourself, you know.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I believe what you're saying is accurate. It's just, it's a surprise. And he's just done so much for our people and for exposing.
Oh, I know. Like I said, you know, he wrote great stuff. I'll still read his articles and what, you know, they're great. But him personally, I've lost all respect for him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you get back. Thank you.
All right, man. Yep. Appreciate it. Anyway, folks, as you can see, over time, this little fiasco that they got going with the CAFR has enabled them to generate huge surpluses of cash. And yet, all the while, local, state, and federal government offices, have been crying no funds. And this has justified them continuing to raise taxes, which increases their you know, here in Massachusetts now, they recently started opening up casinos. They wanted to open one in my town. Thank heavens that got shut down. But, not too far from me, about a half an hour down the road, they have a major, really massively successful one. It's all state run that is making, they've got to be making hundreds of millions of dollars a week, at least. Hundreds of millions of dollars a week. Think about that. That's, again, that's probably even a conservative estimate. But even if that's, you know, let's just say that they're making $500 million a week. Okay? I bet it's more than that. But let's just say that they're making that. How much would that should that be lessening we shouldn't even have, just on that basis, never mind they got, you know, the friggin' they call it mass millions and megabucks, and they got scratch tickets, and you add all that together, this shouldn't even be a fucking sales tax in this state, right? Florida doesn't have a sales tax because the state makes so much money on tourism and shit, right? Why the fuck are we still having a sales tax here? Do you see how these motherfuckers work? I'm surprised Florida doesn't have a sales tax, actually, when you consider that the whole goddamn state is run by the tribe. Give them time, though. They will. They'll do it. But my point is, guys, they tax you not out of necessity. They do it because, hey, we know we can get away with it, so of course we're going to do
Colin.
It. Hey, how's it going, man? I was just got a call on
how's
you.
How's everything going? Hey, I love this subject, Charlie. It's a wonderful subject.
Yeah. I love it and I hate it. You have blood pressure.
But what happens is more people are aware now. Everything takes time. The wonderful thing about the subject is the banks will do everything in their power to somehow legitimize their system of stealing. That's what's basically going on. And so you have to create other artificialities to somehow justify it. So that's why they invented taxes. There's no need for taxes because it's not real. It's a word that was made up. Any word that's made up, and I've said this over the years talking to you and hopefully trying to get it across to people who listen, money's not real. It has no natural properties. Even if you call it tangible and you address or you assign silver or gold to it, it's still something we made up. And because of that, and wanting to continue the banking system, it's their utopia. Think about it. They have unlimited funds at their hands. They could create whatever they want and buy whatever they want. So when you hear the word taxes, it's just the fact that the average person out there, this includes politicians, this includes some bankers themselves, and the collective people are completely unaware how the scam is played out. No different than religion. There's no difference at all. So we don't need any. We don't need taxes. What we need is to change the world for the better.
Yeah.
By the way, that's
what it is. We got a break coming in. You want to hold on?
Yeah, I'll hold on.
All right. Cheer up. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? But agree they did. And what they agreed was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program. And it's not just Hayez. Jewish organizations of all kinds across the spectrum of Judaism are issuing statements in support of refugees. These have included the Orthodox Union, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and so many of the Jewish organizations that you heard are co-sponsors of this event.
right, guys. Welcome back. Yeah, Vin, you still there?
Yeah. By the way, the Kafka report, that was one of the first things that when I first heard about Alex Jones, he had somebody on talking about that subject. And I wasn't surprised. In other words, things don't shock me like some people get shocked by all these things, but it's not surprising to me that
yeah.
they would have huge sums of money. In fact, I had heard that that most colleges have taken in so much money over the years, over the last several hundred years, and have them creating interest that they literally don't have to charge anybody. They don't have to charge to go to college. They could literally get
it. Which was supposed to be a Christian college. I found out from somebody that worked in the financial aid office, they used to charge, they would determine what the tuition was going to be for the coming year based on the maximum amount that they knew the government would award the average student, you know, in loan money. That's what determined how much it would be. In the meantime, they were giving away free tuition to people who were related to somebody or were close to somebody who worked at the college. Half the students weren't even paying, so everybody else made up for the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and now, because of technology, just about all the classes that could be given out in college can be easily accessed online.
Yeah.
So think of all the savings as far as not having to have, you know, maybe 50 students sit in an auditorium and listen to the lectures of a professor.
Right.
You don't have to heat the rooms. Literally, colleges, like everything else, everything is becoming obsolete. But yet you see very little transition into a better system. And
yeah.
that's because we are basically controlled by the bankers. It all comes
yeah.
down to that illusion that people just can't wrap their heads around. You know, think about the mortgages, as, you know, a mortgage, a house that basically cost, and we're talking about when labor was actually necessary to build houses. Now it's unnecessary. Now you could basically, use an extrusion and literally create houses like we do plastic parts and create homes for everybody, you know, everybody in the world. But because the institutions of profit are in place and they don't want to change anything at all, nothing is getting any better. And that's because we have people who don't have our best interest in, you know, they're not there for us. They're there for them making more zeros and ones. That's what it's all about. But it's, you know, like I said, if you look at everything, if you look at all the conspiracies, what always have given all of them up for what they are, science. The bottom line is science. If they give us a story, we realize it's not true. It could be the Holocaust. It's simple. You tell me a simple story that makes no logical sense, and then when you actually look into it, what happens? It all falls apart. Because
yeah, yeah.
you can't cremate bodies, you can't kill people with an insecticide. And all of these things really cancel out the official story. And that's what's
yeah.
happening with money now. That's why you had China building entire cities, because there's nothing to stop the advancement of man. We can make entirely new cities that are completely efficient, where people could live. But the problem is the people at the top of the pyramids, if they're going to do it, their mindset is religious. And they look at it as, well, we don't need so many goy. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And
right,
so what
right.
are we going to do with all these goy? We have all these extra people. We have all this automation. So unless we realize that we need to move forward in our society where everybody benefits by a new system, it's never going to get any better.
No.
Does it make sense to you, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
That's the sad thing about it. And that's what keeps everything from really advancing. That's what's going on here. That's why if you look around you, you see more people that are sick than ever before. You see more people that are coming down. You have 1 in 3 people are getting cancer nowadays. And you have to say to yourself, well, what's going on? Why is everything getting worse? Everything is degenerating. And it's because the system we live in isn't created for the benefit of man. That's what it really comes
right.
down to.
exploitation.
I understand completely, and I hear people talking about, well, it's all going to fail. This is going to, it's everything's going to collapse. Some of the most intelligent people here say, "Oh, this can't continue the way it is. We have to keep raising taxes and all." And it's all because they don't know what they're even talking about. You know, how many people believe they're religious Christians and they've never read the Bible and never thought about it? How long did it take you?
Right.
To realize how ridiculous all this stuff is. Why are we doing this?
Too long.
So anyway, keep up the good work, Charlie.
All right, man.
I just wanted to call in because it's been a few weeks, but you're on the right track. That's an important thing that you're talking about. This is a nonsensical. The subject of taxes is completely ridiculous. It's not. It doesn't even make any logical sense.
Yeah.
Take care, Charlie.
You too, man. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Right, guys. So we need an awakening on a global scale because it's the same people doing it to all of us. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, folks. It's what they're getting away with. But anyway, so where's all this money going? Well, as I mentioned, a lot of it's being invested in these big multinational bitch corporations, the very ones who fund the campaigns of our scumbag politicians, right? But that's not all. Under Agenda 21, good old Agenda 21, the UN has very specific land use policies that they expect to see implemented in every city and town and state and country around the world. And your property tax dollars are funding all of it. Remember, you know, talked several months ago about the fires in California and how Agenda 21 played a big role in that the areas that were being targeted with these fires are areas that were laid out under Agenda 21 to be stripped of human population and returned back to ecosystems or whatever, you know. All part of their urban renewal program, resurfacing the face of the earth. And it's not that they really have any genuine concern or love for the earth and going back to nature. All bullshit. That's the cloak they use. They're grabbing up land that has real value, you know, arable land. They don't want people having arable land where they could, you know, have rich soil and grow crops and be independent or start a business, having a winery or something. No. They don't want that shit. That's the areas that were being targeted with the California fires, guys. All under Agenda 21. All kinds of sleazy shit going on under that fiasco. But anyway, in a nutshell, the plan, the Agenda 21 plan, as far as your tax dollars go, your property tax, the plan calls for governments to take control of all land use and not leave any of the decision-making into the hands of private property owners. So, by driving property taxes up, amongst other things, there's lots of benefits to be reaped from this, but one of them is simply a means of land confiscation, denial of right to property, communism, ladies and gentlemen. The UN is as communist as you can get. Communist as you can get. Remember, Euthant? Open, blatant communist. I mean, he proudly proclaimed his communist leanings. Others were more subtle about it, but that bastard, I mean, they're all communists, but that guy, holy crap. Anyway, it's assumed that people are not good stewards of their land and that the government will do a much better job having the land under their control. Yeah, they come up with all these ideas if they're ever called on it. You know, well, it's just in the best interest of the community. Communitarianism sounds better than communism, doesn't it? Individual rights in general are to give way to the needs of communities. That's the UN's agenda, guys. Moreover, people should be rounded up off the land and packed into human settlements or islands of human habitation. Close to employment centers and, public transportation. So they want to crowd people into the cities as if they're not crowded enough already. Get them out of the country. They want control of arable lands. That's another reason why you know, so many farms have been closing with all these sleazy regulations driving out farmers. They want the farmland in the hands of the big agribusiness companies. And in case you haven't noticed, we're pretty much there already, right? Remember Willie Nelson and his farm aid, you know, whether he was really sincere in that or not, doesn't matter. You know, that grew out of frustration that a lot of people were having with, you know, small farmers going out of business, being driven out by the big bastards, you know, swooping down and scooping up over in India. Back in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, Monsanto was over there, fucking local farmers. Remember that story? Getting them to buy Terminator seed, and then after they got dependent on that and told them to destroy, you know, their old seeds, you don't need those anymore now. We do have our more efficient seeds that are impervious to you know, the pesticides that we're selling you. And then, of course, once that happened, they drove the cost of the seeds up through the roof. So farmers couldn't afford it anymore. They were forced to sell at, you know, pennies on the dollar prices, and Monsanto swooped down and scooped it all up. They're stealing the arable lands so that you not only can't, you know, be independent with your own crops anymore, but we'll have to depend on them for our crops. And what are they selling us? Genetically modified shit that makes us sick, kills us, which again is why they have the seed vault over in the Netherlands, isn't it? Eventually, we're going to fuck up the entire food production system. So we need this as a backup for us, not for the goy. We're poisoning them. It'll be for us. They know they're fucking up the whole food chain. That's the whole plan, guys. Do you ever look into bee colony collapse syndrome? Oh, Christ. That's another subject I've been meaning to get to. There's an epidemic going on around the world, guys. Bee colonies are dying left and right, all by design. So there can't be cross-pollination, so a lot of crops will fail. They're not leaving any stone unturned, baby. All these, you know, research projects, biological research projects, people think, oh, it's for the benefit of man. They're looking for cures for diseases. Ah, bullshit they are. They're creating new diseases. They're looking for ways like this to fucking ruin everything. Everything. Then you add your chemtrails into the mix. It's unbelievable from every conceivable angle, guys. They're destroying everything in their path. These motherfuckers need to be put in their place, or we're done for. We're done. And like I said, I guarantee you, even those of us paying attention probably don't even know 1% of what the hell they're actually doing. That's a scary fucking thought, isn't it? Agenda 21 cites the affluence of Americans as being a major problem around the globe, which needs to be corrected, that U.S. citizens have traditionally lived an unfair, better life than the bulk of the rest of the world's population. So these inequities need to be evened out. And so what's the solution? Not to help bring third world countries up to our level, but to bring us down to theirs. And so that really, ultimately, there's other reasons, but ultimately that's the biggest one right there for you paying such high fucking property tax, which continues to rise higher and higher every fucking day. To take away your livelihood, ladies and gentlemen, to put you out on the fucking street begging bread. That's what they want. We're being turned into a third world country. I was at a convenience store the other day, a couple of young people working there, and, you know, I forget how the subject got brought up, but, you know, inevitably people are talking about their frustration. Oh, I think they were talking about, yeah, how frustrated they are that they, you know, they got to work so much overtime. And I'm like, yeah, doesn't it suck? I said, look how high the cost of food is. You know, look at, you can't afford a car anymore, let alone a new house. You can't afford a new car. And they're all agreeing, like, yeah, this system's got to go. It sucks. You know, people are getting motherfucking fed up for good fucking reason. I just hope, though, that they don't get suckered in by some phony opposition movement like Mr. Soros has been funding over the years. I hope they get pissed off and actually do figure out who the fuck it is that's fucking them. That's our only hope, guys, is we can get people, you know, their anger is there. And if it isn't, it's at least, you know, it's brewing. It's building up. What we can hope for is that we'll be able to channel that anger. Once you get them pissed off, you want them pissed off. The government wants them pissed off too, but for the wrong reason. We want them pissed off so they'll use that anger and channel it in the right way. The government wants to use that anger to get them to rally behind a Soros solution. But if we can get that anger directed in the right way, oh, I tell you, man, we've got an insurmountable force in this country, let me tell you. Sleeping giant, if we can only awaken that sleeping giant and make that giant aware of who the real enemy is, oh, I live to see the day. I would love to see that. Anyway, these bastards have to pay, guys. They've got to pay for their fucking crimes. They've been getting away with way too much, with way too many people for way too long. They have fucked millions, yay, billions of people around the world for centuries on end. And now they're preparing for the ultimate fuck job of all. Are we going to sit back and let them get away with it? Anyway, Agenda 21 calls for lowering the standard of living for Americans. Zbigniew Brzezinski was big on this. You talk about it all the time. Leveling off inequities, meaning drive Americans into poverty. That he could even put stuff like that in print and not get fucking mauled. Anyway, redistribution of wealth is a term that you'll commonly see in fucking Agenda 21 UN bitch publications. As if they give a shit about people in third world countries anyway. They're the ones that drove them into fucking poverty to begin with, and they're driving us there now. Notice the pricks that fund these programs are the ones that are hoarding all the wealth. It's not Americans. It's these motherfuckers that have stolen all of our hard-earned wealth, folks. Now, you know, they're claiming that us having higher living standards is our fault. It's something wrong that we've done, and now we've got to make it up to the rest of the world. They're not talking about raising their standards. They could do that. Of course they could. They're not interested in that. They already got them beaten down into the dust where they want them. Now they want to get us beaten down into the dust. Oh, I'm telling you, man, it's fucking unbelievable. Fucking unbelievable. You hope you don't live to see that day, but if I do, I hope I have the privilege of taking a bunch of them out before they take me down. I hope I do. I will have pleasure in it, guys. The thoughts going through my mind right now, things I'd like to do to them. I won't even repeat it on air. But you know what? If I have the privilege of doing it, I won't have even the slightest hint of guilt. I would not hesitate one fucking millisecond to shed the blood of any of these motherfuckers. Absolutely. That would not be a crime. That would be called justice, baby. Justice. It's long time overdue. That's justice. That's not murder. That's not even killing. It's called spring fucking cleaning. They're out to fry your ass. Why aren't we out to fry theirs? We'd better do it before they fry ours. They want to mass exterminate us, guys. Don't take the Georgia Guidestones lightly, baby. They want to reduce the fucking world's population down to 500 million. Holy Jesus Christ. What is that, like the population of the U.S. and Canada combined or whatever? Imagine that. Everybody else on the planet wiped out except for just the population of the U.S. and Canada. Not that they're just going to have U.S. and Canada survive, you know what I'm saying. But it, number-wise, imagine the whole world's population gone except for the people living in the U.S. and Canada. That's what they want to do, guys. That's what they want to do. Just enough people for the needed slave labor to keep the machine turning while they suck off of everybody, barely, desperately scraping by so they can sit their fat asses on their little golf carts all day playing putt-putt. No. No fucking way, baby. It ain't happening. It ain't happening, you motherfuckers. I'll meet you on the golf course and I'll take your fucking your golf clubs and shove them right up your ass before I cut your fucking balls off and feed them to you. Oh, how can you not get enraged and imaginative of stuff you want to do to these people when you see what they're doing to us and what they plan to do even worse to us? Anyway, skipping down through these notes here. Most Americans pride themselves in being, quote, free, but they don't even know what the hell the word means. Again, guys, this isn't the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's the land of the fee and the home of the slave. It is. We're all fucking slaves. All slaves. And it doesn't even matter how much money you earn. You know, even into the six figures, guys, you're still a slave. I have a friend, he makes about 100 grand a year, and he's like, you know what, Charlie? He says, I don't have any more money at my disposal than you do, because my, you know, I have a bigger bill burden, and so after I pay all my bills, I don't have anything to show for it. Imagine that, making $100,000 and you're still fucking poor because you're gonna pay your fucking high mortgage, high car bills, your car payments, property tax. To have nothing to show for it, even making that kind of money. What a rigged fucking game, man. Unless you're one of the big boys on Wall Street, you're a slave. You're laboring just for the rich pricks that are fucking us. That's all your work does. Makes them richer. It's not benefiting you, not when you're pissing it away in bills and have nothing to show for it. Don't have even a spare enough change to buy yourself a fucking coffee in the morning.
Hey, Charles?
Yeah, man.
I just before the end of the show, I just wanted to say, you know, preach it, brother. You're the voice of the discontent.
I don't even know if discontent is strong enough of a word, but yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
You're giving us a voice to those who are too scared or incapable of speaking up.
I like how Carlin used to say, I don't have gripes, I have psychotic hatreds.
Right?
Yeah, no shit.
Words can't even begin to describe. But, I mean, no. What do you think it's going to take?
Not only a massive uprising, but a massive awakening. If you don't have an awakening, an uprising isn't going to do shit except to get us in a worse mess. It has to be an awakening.
But do you think things are going to have to get like Weimar Germany or what?
Well, you know, we're not far from it now. We're really not. One little extra push toward the precipice and we're there. I mean, they've already gutted us out, even though our mark isn't 1/20 billionth of the English pound yet. It actually is, but not an appearance. You know what I'm saying? People think it has value, so that's why we're still able to buy stuff to some degree the way we are. But it's already been devaluated. It's just not showing up as such yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're pretty much there. And I hope it doesn't take something that severe to push us over the edge to where, people.
Do you think they learned their lesson with that experiment? Do you think that when they turn the heat up too much and things completely collapse, they're just going to boil us slowly?
They don't give a shit when they are controlling everything at the top. Back then, they only controlled, Germany. They didn't have the whole planet. Certainly not the Southern Hemisphere. You know, there were a lot of loose ends they needed to tie up. Now, with the Cold War and having gotten all the little monkeys installed in countries all over South America, or Africa, East Asia, now they're a lot more confident. They still would like to do the frogging in the pot thing, but they also know that they got to move a lot quicker now because people are catching on too fast, especially through the internet. So even if they have to go that route, and pull the whole thing out from underneath us and have it collapse in one moment. I think they're such arrogant pricks. I don't think they care because they figure, well, we got all the bases covered now. We got all the important people on our side. And, we can always have a pig pile if one nation gangs up. I mean, one nation stands up, we can have the whole rest of the world gang up on them, you know. But I think our only hope, though, is the masses, the millions and billions of people around the world that they don't have under their control. If we can get them woken up, even a very, a good percentage of them, they're going to be fucked. Because, Just like you can't bomb your own country. You know what I mean? If you have your own country rising up, you can't nuke them, right? All the elites are going to go with them. How are they going to fight, even though they have all these high-tech weapons? You know what I'm saying? If you've got billions of people all of a sudden rising up, they're going to have one hell of a fucking big problem on their hands. They know it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we can hope for, is that there's going to be a lot of surprises they didn't anticipate. Sure, they got their beam weapons. They can aim their little fucking satellite dish at you and have 100,000 people drop to their feet, shit in their pants. But I don't know if they're going to be able to handle millions.
Yeah, an international wake-up call. That's what we need.
Yeah.
There's an international conspiracy, and we need a countercurrent to that. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's coming down to the wire. We, you know, people need to stop being pussified and cowering in the corner. We're past that now. We don't have time for that shit. It's time to fucking stand up. Your lives, your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives depend on it. Your very life depends on it.
That's right. Posterity.
Yeah. Anyway. Got about a minute left of the show. Was that it, man?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Or the comments. He's been on the phone the whole day. Just one more quick point, folks. Check this out. This is a list of countries that do not have property taxes. You want to think you live in a fucking free country? Monaco, Malta, Fiji, the Cook Islands, the Cayman Islands, Dominica, Seychelles, Sri Lanka, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Saudi Arabia. These countries do not have property taxes. So you want to call this the land of the free? Well, bear up this country against them and see where that gets you. You know, in this country, there are a few places you can go and have either no property tax or at least very little property tax. Believe it or not, Arkansas. Arkansas has, I think it's like literally $60 a fucking year or something for property tax. Hey, that's fucking great. There shouldn't be one at all, but $60 a year. The problem is, though, guys, most jobs in Arkansas probably only pay $60 a year, essentially, you know. Not much more than that. I mean, you know, the wages there are very low. Very, very, very low. So proportionately, $60 a year probably is a lot of money. What a mess. What a mess. All right, guys, that does conclude our discussion of this topic, so tomorrow I'll be up on something else.
Beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!